Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 17 of the Work in Progress series. I'm your host, Tiffany Parr, and thank you for joining me on your Friday. Today's episode is featuring Kelsey Davis, and if you think that name rings a bell, it's because Kelsey was previously on the podcast with the episode titled The Art of Finesse with CEO and co-founder of the creative agency Collective, Kelsey Davis. So if you want to hear her full story, there it is. And for those of you who haven't had a chance to listen to that episode, Kelsey is the co-founder and CEO of The Collective, an agency that develops collegiate creatives in partnership with universities across the country to develop creative solutions for brands looking to reach the Gen Z market. Place. So as you can tell, Kelsey's super creative. She also has a background in videography and was freelancing for a while as a videographer before starting The Collective. So she's definitely a creative that is now kind of meshing business into her passion. So this is the agenda of what we talked about. We talked about Kelsey's background, you know, where she's from, her early days in video, what it was like traveling around the US and shooting video content as a freelancer, a highlight of The Collective, what it is, how she's been able to really reflect on what Collective has done in 2018 and moving forward. We talk about what it takes to be a founder. And then Kelsey actually asked questions on her Instagram. So we had some great audience questions as well. And if you guys want to ask audience questions, definitely want to get everyone who listens to this podcast as involved as possible. Make sure to head over to my Instagram at @TiffanyParra_. I'll have it linked on the show notes below. And head over to my Instagram on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern time for Real Talk number 18. This next one I'm super excited about. Don't want to reveal the guest yet. If you guys want to know who the guest is, I'll be announcing that on Tuesday. But yeah, guys, I hope you enjoy this episode of Real Talk. It was really great to reconnect with Kelsey. She's really cool, very inspiring, and I know she's going to end up doing big things. So probably not the last time you'll see her on the podcast. Go check out Collective. All their social handles are in the show notes below. And you can also find Kelsey's social information as well. And her Instagram is super sick. She puts out really cool photos with awesome lighting. So definitely check those out. If you guys are interested in viewing the video version of the interview, definitely hit the show notes because there will be a YouTube link there. If you guys want to connect with me, the best way to do that is through probably Instagram DM, send me a DM, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn. Those are the two platforms I'm mostly on. If you want to know what gear I'm using, I'll have a link to my kit.com so you can check out which mic this is. If any of you guys are thinking about starting a podcast, definitely let me know. I can send you some awesome resources. Just send me a DM. As always, any reviews of this podcast are really appreciated, and definitely screenshot your phones and post it on your story when you are listening to the podcast, and I'll for sure repost you. So I'm gonna let the beat drop, and I hope you enjoy this episode of Real Talk. It's really not about, well, who are you and how old are you? It's really how much time have you spent on a given platform.
I think my one piece of advice, especially for young people, is just like every day try and figure out how the world works.
Compared to changing the future of somebody and doing it for the greater good.
That is, in my opinion, the best idea I've ever come up with.
So, what's up, Kelsey? How are you doing
today? Good. How are you? Happy 2019.
I know. And if you guys don't know, Kelsey was on the podcast before. So, super excited to have her back.
Yeah. No, it was awesome. It was great.
I'm glad. Yes, me too. Happy to have you back. So, to start off, Kelsey, like, where are you originally from? Did you grow up in New York? Like, what was that like for you?
No, I did not grow up in New York, and I'll say that to the day that I die. I'm from Atlanta. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. Went to high school, grew up for the most part in Cobb County. And that's kind of where I started my video career, if you will, and then came to New York for school. I thought I was going to be like closer to New York City, but I'm in upstate Syracuse, so it's cold.
Yeah.
From Atlanta originally.
So like, what, how did you even get into video, right? Like growing up, what was it about? Like, is there like a big video scene in Atlanta? Like, how did you pick up a camera at first?
Well, yeah, I'll definitely say that for Atlanta, I think just like at the time I was born right after the 96 Olympic Games. It was a time where just like culture and media was really starting to rise in the city of Atlanta. I had two parents who worked for CNN, Turner Broadcasting, so I just kind of grew up in like a media space, but they were more so news, and I did not like news. I just felt like it was too structured, but I liked media like as a whole thing. I wanted to be able to tell stories through like my vision rather than other people's narratives, and so that's how I kind of got into video production. And then I was super fortunate to go to a high school that offered video production as like a extracurricular pathway, if you will. And so my video teacher, I still keep up with him now. He was the first person to like actually like be like, yo, like you can think of something and then like see it on a screen. And that just like messed up my whole mind. And so he just really got me into production. And then I was working for the YMCA and for Sky Zone, just like a trampoline park. And I was like, yo, like when I clock in, how about like, I just shoot videos and like, put them on the screen, like run ads, stuff like that. And so I started doing that for them. And then I ended up contracting. I quit my job, with both. And then I ended up being like a contractor with them. So that was kind of how it started. And then my dad was like, yo, this is cool. But like, how about you like take it seriously and like go to school for it. And so then I looked up like, all right, cool. What's like the number one school for like this. And then Newhouse was that, in my opinion, and so now I'm here. That's kind of how that happened. Yeah,
that's crazy. That's really cool. You went from like working there to like having them as a client. That's pretty dope. So yeah. You like said it a little bit on our podcast, right? Kind of how you were like traveling around and shooting video. Like, what did that like era of your life look like? And yeah, could you just like highlight that?
Yeah. So I think, well, at first it kind of started like in high school. And that, I think, was, it was interesting because, like, there was just, like, a really big street photography like, culture in Atlanta. And so during high school, like, I would, like, in the night, just be, like, sneaking out with my friends, like, hopping on rooftops, stuff like that. Yeah, and then I think that, like, when I got to Syracuse, pledged AKSI, like, started to really understand business development and how we could actually monetize off of something that's just, like, a hobby. And so I think that, like, my meshing of, like, actually going to, like, a university to study something that was a hobby, I think was really cool because I could take that passion seriously from, like, an economic perspective and then be able to ultimately build opportunities for people like myself and hence Collective, which I know we'll get into later. But that was kind of, I guess, the opportunity or, like, the need that I saw and wanted to create an opportunity from.
That's sick. Yeah. So you could, like, totally, like, I guess, were you freelancing for a while too? Like, what did that era of like,
yeah, freelancing is like the best and the worst thing in the world. So I was freelancing for probably like 4 years, probably, yeah. So like that probably started like my junior year of high school. And then it was interesting because I think when I first came to Syracuse, like I tried freelancing in the same way as like when I was in Atlanta, and I just realized like it's not like, it's just a completely different market, a completely different scene. So I think I just had to like relearn all of those things, which I think was good. Being a freelancer is interesting because like, I think for me, like I was traveling across the country, like literally every week shooting for people that like people look up to and like idolize completely. But like I'm sleeping on people's couches and like, I'm like, yo, like, can I crash like while I'm in the city, whatever. And so I think that like, while it's really cool in terms of proximity to, I think, goals and vision, freelancing can be super hard just in terms of, like, management and making sure, like, you're taking care of yourself and things like that. So I think what was important for me was to figure out how can I continue to keep this passion but do it in a scalable way that's, like, efficient and effective, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, it totally makes sense. So it's, like, adding, like, the business portion of like your passion. But real quick, I kind of just wanted to rewind here, like what was the era of you actually learning like all these media skills, right, in terms of like you learning videography? And like all the photos on your Instagram were super dope too, like super professional.
Thank you.
Stuff. Like how did you like learn that? Like were you in high school doing that? Like someone has to suck at the beginning, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's like a mix of like YouTube I think classes and then just like access to certain resources. So like obviously because like I had just like parents and like just people I knew in the media space, I just got access to like knowledge and information that I think a lot of people otherwise wouldn't have. I think in relation to school, I understood a lot of like the technical aspects that went along with it that I think other people wouldn't have. And then I think also in looking at just where we are, kind of like the generation that we were born into, like I've never not had access to like immediate information by being someone who's like on the cusp of like Gen Z and millennial information, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think for me that also, you know, just created a level of like, mind you, this is before like, you know, influencer marketing and media was like super huge. And so I think that for me was why I was able to kind of like get a lot of those things quicker. And then obviously like having the like privileged opportunity to go to a school like Newhouse, right? And so I think a lot of those things overall kind of helped. But I would definitely say like the number two thing is just like YouTube and then just like going out and getting experience. Yeah. Like you just have to like, you can't want to be a videographer and then like you don't really go out and shoot, you know? So it's kind of a mix of everything.
Yeah, definitely. And I always ask people like who are in like creative, like videographers and photographers this question, but like, what was the camera that you started shooting with and what is your like current setup today?
Okay, so my first camera was a Rebel T3i Canon. That's like the standard, like anytime someone is like, yo, like I'm trying to shoot, I'm like, yo, get a whatever the like second newest T whatever I is. That's like always what I tell people. But I had a Rebel, and then I had an ESM mirrorless, still Canon. And then I had a, I think my next one was the one I have now. Which is a Canon 5D Mark II, which if you know anything about cameras, it's not super great. And yeah, I just learned how to finesse in post. But yeah, I actually like kind of like messed up my camera like in like December, November, something like that. So I haven't even really like shot, which is interesting. So yeah. I technically don't really have a camera right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's cool. I mean, and that's a perfect segue into like the fact that you're mostly like hustling and focusing on like your business right now. So yeah. Like, What is your business, right? Could you kind of tell everyone what Collective is and, like, how you started it?
Yeah. So Collective is a creative agency. And so we develop collegiate creatives in partnership with universities in order to develop what we call creative solutions for brands. So basically, and I kind of talked about my story earlier, but basically I identified a problem where I didn't find a route or a resource for people like me who were, like, enrolled in, like, a four-year, like, full-time university, like being full-time students, but then having like full-time access to like opportunities, being connected to brands, being able to like actually go out to do what we want to do. And so I wanted to be able to create an avenue where people like me had the opportunity to empower themselves if they didn't, you know, have proximity to certain things like I did or have like certain privileges to be like in positions that I was. Just being able to create an opportunity for like thousands of people to be able to join that vision, if you will. Yeah.
Yeah, sick. No, it's a super dope mission. Like, we definitely like dive into it more on my podcast. So if you're interested, mm-hmm. that link in bio. But
hey, plug.
Trying to get that swipe up in 2019 one day. So I guess like also, you know, going into 2019, right? Like I guess last time we talked, it was like 2018. So like, what is your focus going into this year?
Yeah, I would say in pertaining to Collective, I'll start there. I think we're focused on really two things, like building creatives and brands, right? So in terms of creatives, like our vision behind everything that we do is empowering the next generation of creatives, right? So that for us in 2019 looks like adding a lot of initiatives to what we do in terms of like developing like skills, like skill development with creatives, different like content related things, like highlighting different creatives across different universities, even getting into like e-learning content that I know you and I talked about before. So just really rolling out like content related things that kind of give people virtually access into like the know and the spirit of what we do. And then additionally building out a process that actually onboards and develops people who are in our creative community, ultimately to then be able to be contractors and freelancers when it comes to our brand related things. And then in context to our brands, it's just to continue to build creative solutions to like our brand partners. For us, that's defined as three things. Creative strategy, content development, and then placements, promotions type things. And then along with like client related brands, one thing we're really trying to build out and already kind of have started to is even relationships and like strategic partners in regards to like government, like officials, government organizations, and then also community organizations. And I think that just really goes into, again, kind of the vision in terms of like connecting creatives, brands. You know, even when you look at collegiate campuses, like Syracuse University, for example, is like the number one employer for the city of Syracuse. Everything in terms of the city itself revolves around the economic chain of the actual university, yet the city is completely poor and it's not getting the resources that it needs to, right? And so I think it's like, okay, well, if you have all of these, you know, creatives who are on campus who are looking for opportunities with brands, who are looking to get paid, and you have this underserved community that has brands all across its city, that is not getting served the right way, I think that there's a way to bridge that gap. And so that's the type of work in terms of the community that we're.
Yeah, no, that's super sick. I definitely see how, like, you know, each one of those, like, arms can be, like, expanded, because it's, like, just such a great concept, and I think you can do so much with it, especially because there's so many creative needs nowadays since content is king. But I guess also for yourself, right, like, what do you have, like, certain personal development goals, routines, habits trying to develop also, just, like, being the one to kind of run their show, and as well as your co-founder?
Yeah, I think, I think my co-founder and I share this goal, is like, for us in 2019, it's to like absorb as much information as we can, and then to like execute on decisions and on ideas fully and like confidently while navigating this like traction space. I think that for us in 2018, like even like a year ago this month, really, is like me and my co-founder first got together. And so looking at everything that happened between, you know, January of 2018 and January of 2019, they were like very huge, very quick strides, which was super great. But I think that, you know, while all of that is happening, it's still like super important that like we're learning. It's like, holy shit, like, how do I become a CEO? Like, how, you know, how are we, you know, running a team, managing a team of 10 people, but then still being, you know, full-time students. So I think a lot of that just comes down to, for me, I'll say personal goals being just like more confident around just like decision making, trying to intake as much information as possible, and just like to always be teachable. I think it's like the biggest thing, more so like soft skill type things for 2019. Yeah.
And how is it for you, like, balancing school and like, yeah, how is it for you balancing school while also running this business?
Yeah. It's something you learn, and it's like a evolving type of thing. I think the way that I did that 2 years ago and the way that I do that now is completely different. So I definitely think that, like, when people are looking for how to, I guess, like, search for, like, find balance, I think that's like super personalized and like an individual process. I think for me, I had to start realizing that, like, less is more, in terms of, like, just because you're doing more things doesn't mean you're being more productive. And for me, like, productivity, like, sustainable productivity is the ultimate goal, right? So I think that one thing that I tell people, one, like, always identify, like, a personal SWOT analysis for yourself. So, like, what are my current strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats that, like, exist in my life? And then also, like, evaluate your key resources. So, like, what are different resources that I have, like, in my direct sphere to, like, help that? And then, like, prioritize, like, what are big tasks, what are small tasks that, like, exist? And then from that point, prioritize, right? And say, okay, like, this is super important, but, like, I don't have the resources that I need, but I have this resource over here because I identified that before making a decision on what I'm going to do, right? So I think that, like, and some people have opinions about, you know, approaching business and personal the same, whatever. I personally think that it's kind of all the same in terms of how you think. And so that's kind of my process of, like, you know, I don't necessarily think balance is a thing. My co-founder told me this. He's that balance isn't a thing. It's all about constant alignment, right? So, like, being on this, like, perfect path, whatever, she's like, doesn't exist. But I think your ability to understand your capacity and to adjust and iterate over time, like, that's the key thing. And I think for that, it's just, like, prioritization and understanding, like, your capabilities overall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I also just have a personal question, because I think that this could be useful for anyone, like, listening or like watching this live stream. Some of us, like, have great ideas, right? But maybe we're not like that maybe you're not that creative person, or maybe you don't have that creative skill set yet. Like, how do you think, especially because this relates so much to like the collective, what do you think are some motivating factors for creatives to get them hyped on a project? You know, like, so if you're like a business and you're looking to like collaborate and maybe do a shoot with like photographers, videographers, like, what do you think are things that creatives value nowadays?
I think it's like super important to like hone in on a style, or like to hone in on specific, like, knowing who you are. I think a lot of people try to, you know, start doing things without understanding, like, well, what is it you're actually trying to sell? Like, what is it that you're, you know, why would somebody want to work with you? Not even on like a financial type of level, but like, what is it that, like, if you send me an email, then I'm going to be like, yeah, like, that's the guy that I'm looking for. And I think that a lot of that, I mean, even figuring out, like, who you are, that can mean, like, aesthetically speaking, that can mean, like, what are your goals? Like, what are you actually trying to do? Like, you know, like, it doesn't make sense to partner with, like, you know, like, editorial type of, like, photography people if you're trying to do, like, music videos. I don't know. So, like, I think that it's just important to know, you know, who you are and what you actually want to do first. And I think that many times that can come out of, like, sorry, my mom just called me. I think that many times that can come out of, like, isolation, which is, like, can be a good thing. Like, being able to actually, like, take time to, like, by yourself and think, like, what do I actually want to accomplish? Who do I actually want to be in regards to, like, being a creative? Because being a creative is so, like, broad these days, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. And then in terms of, like, working with a team, like, what are some things that you feel like you've learned in this past year when it comes to, yeah, just, like, working with a bunch of different people's, like, styles and their own creative styles, too?
Yeah, I think definitely, if anything, I've learned that, like, I need to be a better manager. like, there's a difference between, like, oh, yeah, like, being a CEO and, like, whatever, and it's, like, you know, you're a manager of, like, all things. And so I think that, like, going from this transition of, like, being this visionary, like, oh, it'd be so cool if we, and then, like, oh, like, these colors are cool, to then, like, yo, like, how are we organizing our tasks? Like, if someone doesn't know something, it's probably not because they're stupid. It's probably because, like, I didn't articulate that information in the right way. And so I think that, like, even in understanding that, I've been a lot more cognizant about having to learn people in my space and just, like, analyze, like, okay, like, what are my team members motivated by? What are they inspired by? Like, how do they like to be taught information? Like, we have people on our team that are, like, analytical, like, thinkers. We have people that are, like, visual learners. We have people that, like can just be sent a spreadsheet and, like, understand it. Like, yeah, so I think it's just about understanding, like, who you're actually working with, and then, like, you need to adjust. like bosses or leaders or CEOs need to stop, like, pointing fingers at everybody else, and, like, sometimes, like, you're just not doing it right. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think that's huge, because, like, some people sometimes, like, have that ego, right? Like, oh, I started this thing. Like, you guys just aren't listening to me, like, my vision. So yeah. I think it's good that, like, the importance of just, like, staying adaptable to your team, because, like, at the end of the day, like, if you could do it on your own, then, like, you probably wouldn't have a team. So, yeah, what are some things that you want to highlight, like, as we wrap up here? Like, you know, what are you excited about? And where can people, like, find out more information about you and the collective?
Yeah, I would say something that I'm super, super excited about is we just onboarded a couple of people to, like, our production, operation, and marketing teams. Super, super lit. And so with that, like, we're about to start rolling out a lot of content, which is going to be, like, super fun and tailored to a lot of things. And, yeah, like, everything from just, like, revamping, like, the website to, like, just, like, cleaning up some, like, brand-related stuff. And, yeah, like, I'm super hyped for that. I think seeing the way in which people engage with our content is going to be very interesting to me. And, yeah.
Yeah,
and then cool. You could find us on, just, like, go to my bio and then, like, click somewhere and you'll find something that's about okay. COVID.
Yeah, I'll have all your stuff linked in the show notes of this podcast too. But yeah, thank you so much for, like, talking on this live, and it was great talking to you again. It's always going to be fun following your journey, and I definitely don't think this is the last time you'll be on the podcast. Probably do, like, some check-ins and see where you guys are at. Super excited.
Yeah, definitely. And I have your hoodie. Like, the hoodie you're wearing, I have that. So, like, that's lit.
We should have matched. Oh, my God.
Let me know next time.
Next time.
Right. We do a podcast or whatever. Like, yeah. And then also, I had a couple people, like, DM me a few questions that, like, I'd be down to, like, hit real quick.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that. Of course.
All right, cool. Let's do it. Straight. And you covered, like, a lot of stuff.
No, it's cool.
Okay, so Invisible Wrist asked, how did I go about finding my core team? I think I kind of talked team, but, like, for me, like, which is, like, super important is, like, people who I can trust, and then people who can follow through. if you like make good work, be a good person, and you like follow through a task, then like you're a good team member. A lot of the other stuff is like just like get over it, you know, like things, a lot of things that are like personality related or whatever, like these are your business partners, not your homies. strategies for finding balance, Amber, Kristen asked that. I already kind of talked on that, so I'm gonna skip that. Turbo Toby 95 asked how I can leverage my skills built from collective to help others in your space. You know, I'll talk with Tiffany, for example, like with Tiffany being someone who's like doing what she's doing, me being somebody doing what I'm doing, like there are certain skills that we get, whether hard skills or soft skills, that like meeting each other on the internet or like however it is that we like come across, that like you're able to like collaborate and talk to and like, yo, Tiffany, I see you're doing this really cool thing. Like, let me, you know, talk to you about that or post that or help you with that. And then vice versa. I think like a lot of times it's just through the little things, like answering a phone call and like talking to somebody about something or whatever.
I don't know if I can, Kelsey, I think you're cutting out. Let me see. And if you guys can see me, it's a live podcast. Okay. Oh, okay. I think Kelsey's cut out. But I don't know if she's coming back. I can text her. But yeah, guys, thank you. For those of you who don't know, this is a live Instagram podcast I do every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time, 9:30 Eastern time. You can check out the full interview in my link in bio. It'll be up there on Friday. And if you guys have any questions or anything, just feel free to DM me. But I'll hop out of here and peace out. Ending this.